Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lore Watch, a roundtable freeform discussion about lore and our favorite media. I'm your host, Joe Perez, one of several lore-focused folks from Blizzard Watch, and I've got my chaos-inducing companion with me, Matt Rossi. How are you doing today, Matt?
Check with your pharmacist to see if Matt Rossi is right for you.
Well, at least for me,
Symptoms may include lore speculation, arguing about whether or not druids are good, and I don't remember the other ones, but that's one of them. Maybe you forget things. Who knows? Pumpkins
and ghost pirates seem to be well abound on that one as well.
pirate ghosts on a pumpkin-themed pirate ship.
Well, we might wind up talking about pirate ghosts. We're probably going to wind up talking about pumpkins because it's hilarious. But we're not going to be doing questions this week. We're actually going to be doing something that we promised we would do and that you all seem to be pretty excited about as well, which is sort of the What If series, but in this case for Warcraft. So what does this mean? Well, we're going to do some speculation or how we would have seen the story potentially going different. And it's going to be a little more tinfoil hatty and freeform, than our usual episodes, because there's,
may God have mercy on your souls.
May God have mercy on your souls, but may also, just get ready for Matt and I feeding off of each other. And I think we're going to start with, I think at the beginning is the best way to go. So I'm going to let Matt kick it off, but where would you start if, like, your deviation from the known universe of Warcraft? What would be your spinoff point, your alternate timeline? Or,
I mean, there's a lot.
There's a lot you can choose from.
I'm going to say, because this one always amuses me, what if Sargeras hadn't gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Interesting. We're starting way back in the way machine.
Yeah, you said that back at the beginning. See, I often wonder, part of this is because they changed the story at a point because Chris Metzen actually forgot what he'd written previously, which I always find amusing. But basically, the way the current Cosmos's chrono history goes, Sargeras started going insane when he first started trying to catch demons. Because demons, you could kill them all you wanted, and they just came back, which was unsatisfactory to Sargeras. He liked things to stay dead when he killed them. So, barring the ability to do that, he studied the Twisting Nether and figured out a way to create a prison world that was layered inside of the Nether, but was inaccessible, so that the demons couldn't get out. When they would go back to the Nether, they'd go there, and then they couldn't escape. And if you played the Demon Hunter starting area, you've been there. I can never remember the name, like Margrav, whatever. Important thing is he made the prison plan. But his true crack moment, the moment where he broke, is when he first met the Nathrezem as they were bathing in a world that was being destroyed by the Void. Now, we know enough about the Nathrezem now to know that they're kind of like they're not Void creatures, and they're not demons. They're creations of the Shadowlands. They're literally Denathrius's offspring. That's why they're the Nathrezem. He created them more or less in his image and sent them forth into the cosmos to wreak havoc and keep. We're not entirely sure what his goal is in all this. Like, why was he doing it? We've never gotten a completely sincere answer on that one. But we know that they were like involved in basically stirring the pot. They've infiltrated practically every other faction of the Warcraft cosmos. So Sargeras runs into them, and they steer him towards a confrontation with the corrupted Void world, which he destroys. And destroying that world, killing that Titan soul before it could be fully corrupted, and also before it could be born, seems to be the point where Sargeras breaks. And part of the problem was that he was by himself. He didn't bring Agrimmar with it.
And he almost like he felt, I guess at the time, I think the justification was there wasn't time.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was possibly the justification, yeah. But I've always wondered, maybe it was that he knew Agrimmar would hold him back. Because here's the thing about Agrimmar and Sargeras. They actually had a good relationship. Before Sargeras broke, they were pretty tight. For lack of a better word, we're talking Batman and Robin here. Like, Agrimmar was Sargeras' second. It's like Kirk and Spock. Kirk without Spock sometimes gets in over his head. And Spock without Kirk sometimes is a little bit unwilling to do things that are necessary in the moment. They worked really well together because each of them had a stabilizing influence on the other. And the reason McCoy was so important was because he was the one who would kick them both in the butt if they were stuck. But Sargeras didn't have his Agrimmar. He didn't have his Spock with him. And I feel like that might have been he left him behind on purpose because he knew, he had a feeling that what he was thinking of doing wasn't what the Titans would want him to do.
Maybe, or maybe it was a little bit more. Maybe it was the influence of the Nathrezim, right? And the thing mm-hmm. is, we don't know the full extent of what influence or what they kind of pushed onto him or what they told him, because the Titans don't quite fully understand the void, right? Like they know that it's bad. They know that they need to fight against it and that it is a corrupting factor. But remember in the real universe, they were taking bits of Old God to study it, to learn more about it because they didn't know about it. They didn't really fully understand it. So mm-hmm. in Sargeras's, you know, limited exposure, he sees this world soul completely corrupted, or at least he thinks completely corrupted by the void as presented by the Nathrezim. And I want to make sure that is framed appropriately there. They tell him he doesn't have time. Maybe they tell him he wants to go and get the others. He wants to go and get Amonthul, and he wants to get, the rest of the Pantheon and bring them forward to solve this problem. Because again, Sargeras's motivations have always been rooted in saving the universe. It hasn't been in a twisted way. It became destroying the universe, but it became destroying the universe to make it reborn so that it could fight against the void.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We don't know if he actually was at a point where he knew that he didn't have time or that he was purposely leaving them behind. It could have all been by design of the Nathrezim in order to break a Titan. Because
yeah, and I do think, though, we have to make sure to make this point clear. The Nathrezim couldn't control him. That's not what we're talking about. The Nathrezim can't control a Titan. It's very likely that what they did was present it like, oh, sure, go get your friends. That'd be great. Take all the time you want, because this will be done by the time you get there.
A void Titan will be born and their plan will already be set in motion. But you, Master, the person that we have now vowed to serve, you can end this now.
Yeah. And it's a lot of Sargeras's interrelation with the Nathrezim. You'll notice he does not trust them.
Mm-hmm.
He's never trusted them. We see this in what happens to, I want to say Mal'Ganis, but it's not Mal'Ganis. Is it Mal'Ganis?
It's Mal'Ganis, I think.
Yeah. Well, the one that he was torturing, the one that was Sylvanas's buddy.
Oh, you keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah, we know who I'm talking about. He was originally in Undercity. When we see him in Legion, they're torturing him, and not for any, like, they don't seem to be looking for information from him. They're just torturing him.
Varimothras.
Thank you. Varimothras is being tortured partially for his failure. And when we say his failure, I want to remind everybody of the end of the attempted reclamation of Undercity after Sylvanas is thrown out by Varimathras working with the Apothecary Society. And at the end of that, if you're playing Horde, you go in and you confront Varimathras, and Varimathras is talking to somebody. And the somebody he's talking to is clearly way above his pay grade. And while this is not, they've never confirmed this, it's the voice files is named Sargeras. So Sargeras was directly telling Varimathras, get me a portal so I can come through. And Varimathras failed. And it's clear that Sargeras did not think he failed just because he failed. He was suspicious of why Varimathras didn't open that portal. Was he going to open the portal? Was that ever his goal, or was he doing something else? So we've already got Sargeras not trusting the Nathrezim, which is, you shouldn't. But the problem is that they're useful. They're always very useful. There's a freaking Nathrezim in the light service, supposedly.
Yeah,
and we just let him. We totally believed him, even though it was a freaking Nathrezim. We're all like, oh well, this one's good. The light wouldn't let an evil man use it. Cut to a Death Knight, a Death Knight using the light in Extramis. The light doesn't necessarily seem to care about good or evil. It seems to care about other things. The light might let a Nathrezim use it if it served what the light was going for. If they thought, well, he'll help us against the void, the light might not care about his morality or his motivations. So cutting back to Sargeras, let's say he brings Agrimmar with him. Maybe he doesn't leave, but he calls Agrimmar and he watches to see, do I have to act? I'm going to watch. If that thing starts getting out of the planet, I'll rip it in half, but I'm going to wait for Agrimmar to get it. Agrimmar shows up. He's like, oh yeah, this is bad. It's good you called me. And the two of them come to the conclusion that they can't save the world.
Mm-hmm.
That they, it's too far gone. But now when Sargeras destroys it, Agrimmar is there. Agrimmar is there to do a postmortem with him. Agrimmar is there to say, look, you didn't have a choice. This isn't on you. You did what had, that was mercy. That wasn't murder. That poor thing, what would it have been? If we'd let that thing be born, the entire cosmos was in danger. It wasn't its fault. It's the void's fault. And with that, Sargeras is now, he's still just as obsessive, but now he feels supported. Because if you look at everything Sargeras does in World of Warcraft, especially in World of Warcraft, in Legion, he wants his family back.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to help him. He wants them back so badly that he's willing to torture them and corrupt them to get them to agree with him. And so if he's got Agrimmar there, who's like, yeah, what you did was right, but we need to be strategic about this, because that was where Agrimmar was better than Sargeras. Sargeras was the better fighter, but Agrimmar was the better strategian and strategist and tactician. He was the guy who could tell you, okay, no, that's what you want to do, but here's how we do it. Like, cause he's the one, when he came to Draenor, he didn't just jump in and scoop the offending, out of control plant beings out of the planet with his bare hand and just throw them. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, if I get involved in this, this planet's not going to be doing well. So I'm just going to make something on their scale, something that's about the same size they are. Cue to a giant walking mountain, because Agrimmar doesn't really understand just how small the things on Draenor are. But he's like, yeah, this is close enough. It's only about 13 miles tall. That's not a big deal, right? So that's my thinking, is you don't get a burning crusade, but you do get a Titan crusade. And what does that look like? What is the Titans without Sargeras in the lead fighting against the void? What does it look like? What do they do? They're not using Fel the way Sargeras did when he fell away from them. They're still, using the stuff that Titans are known for. So what do they do? What happens? Go ahead.
I almost wonder if that leads them down the path of embracing the light.
They'd use the light anyway.
They have in the past, but I'm wondering if that changes things, because now you have a couple different factors of personality, right? You have Sargeras, who is driven and passionate about the void must be stopped. The void must be, fought at every chance you can. but it has to be done in a way that doesn't burn the universe down around it. You know, you don't cut off the nose to spite the face. This is the determination that he comes to at this point. Agamar's in for the ride and wants to use every tool available to him. But then you also have this, and we talked about this before, you have this order magic, this potential for domination magic that may be Titanborn or maybe Arcaneborn, that sort of maybe offers a little bit of guidance or maybe is something that they latch onto. If the void is chaos incarnate, they're going to try to embrace the opposite. And I'm also wondering if that leaves ANR aligned with them or not. Because
so I was thinking about that. It might actually mean that they're more willing to deal with Ilune. Because maybe. we know Ilune is related somehow to the Naru. There is some relationship. We don't know what it is, but we know it's there. The Naru are like entities of light and shadow. If you want a greater understanding of the void, then the Naru are not a bad group to consult. And we know the Naru have actually gone to the Shadowlands and opposed Denathrius in the past. So they might, it's possible that the Denathrism are known to the Naru.
Oh, and then you get so not only do you get that, maybe they do come forward and maybe Ilune comes forward, maybe ANR brings Ilune to the Titans in a way of, you know, hey, by the way, Ilune's already been fighting the void.
Yeah, she's actually got a guy who killed a void lord for us at one point. Killed a fell thing, one of those void thingies.
Killed an old god, and saved its world at the cost of its own soul, but did so with the power of Ilune. Like, Ilune has the ability and has the knowledge and has dealt with the stuff. By the way, here are the Naru who, you know, are also, you know, channeling the light to scour the darkness and have also had dealings with, well, by the way, those Nathrezin that tried to get you to destroy the world, here's where they come from. Here's where their point of origin, and here's the war that happened between Revendreth and the Light, between Revendreth and the Naru. They were trying to scour and stop them from what they were doing. You have now Titans with knowledge that they didn't have before. And maybe ANR did. Maybe ANR knew a bunch of this stuff, but Amon-Thul and Nor-Kanon, they wouldn't. Like, they weren't really going to listen to it because, again, wild or chaos is just, it's not orderly. It's not their plan. But yeah,
Sargeras and Agrimmar both going, look, we can worry about that when we're done.
At least, like, that's made out of stuff that's in the universe, right? That's stuff that's from here. That's stuff that allows the universe to continue to exist. We can worry about that later, but right now, we have an open wound that is just bleeding that we need to deal with. And instead of maybe having a fell charge Sargeras, he accepts the gift of the light from the Naru, because I don't think there's any reason why he couldn't.
I mean, for that matter, he could literally just talk directly to it. And we don't know for certain that Ilune isn't an intercessory being. It's quite possible he could literally talk to Ilune and through her reach the plane of light to directly speak to it. If a mortal can do that, a Titan should be able to. What's really interesting here, though, is to think about, we've seen light bearers get fanatical.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wouldn't be anything stopping him from being just as dangerous.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd have this absolute fanatic who's completely unwilling to not fight this. It's like, the fighting has to happen. We have to fight this. And if Amon-Thul is smart enough to know when to argue with Sargeras, when to tell him I'm in charge, we do what I want, and when to take him off the lead. Because if you fight him too much, he becomes useless.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to let him do some of this. So you get this, like I said, this Titan Crusade. They're all throwing in it. They've contacted the light. They're going to, like, you know, purge the universe. And that leaves, oddly enough, that leaves the demons completely decentralized.
Yeah.
There's no Sargeras leading on.
It might even be a little bit more than that. So the demons become a disorganized force, but I'm also wondering, once that knowledge is given of where the Nathrezim came from and what some of their plans may have been, and that there's somebody that they answer to that may be tied to this, even if they don't know the full breadth of it, but they know that it is against it. Do you have a titanic invasion of Revendreth? Do you have a titanic invasion of the Shadowlands?
Yeah. That, and think about what happens if one Titan soul that wasn't even fully fledged disabled Arbiter, disabled the Arbiter and caused the events of the Shadowlands. What would happen to the Shadowlands if the Titans went there? Could they go there, or would they break it by trying?
See, and that's an interesting thing, because souls, we know that there are ways into the Shadowlands. There are pathways beyond just dying and being sent there. Mm-hmm. And there are ways out of it, because, you know, us as the you know, Maw Walkers and stuff like that, yeah, we can do that, but so could the Death Knights. And if the Death Knights could do that, so could the Nathrezim, very clearly. And if the Nathrezim could do that,
We absolutely know they were doing it. So,
but we also know,
no matter the things that were eating everything, devourers, they can go in there.
And the Naru can go in there, and the Void can go in there.
And who's the other, the guys who are like the Ethereals, but they're like robots?
The Brokers.
The Brokers can go in and out. They're not native to at least Revendreth.
They're not native to those sections of the Shadowlands, but they can travel. And we know, because we do quests for them, that they can enter and leave the Shadowlands as they see fit. The interesting thing is, like, I think this is where things start to go off the rails a little bit, because.
Well, think about this. There's some stuff coming up. Go ahead. And then I'll talk.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, in terms of, you're talking about a Titan invasion of the Shadowlands. If they can't immediately find a way for the Titans themselves to go there, because they're just too not part of the Shadowlands, they're too something else, they might rely on a trick they've used in our world, mm-hmm. in our Azeroth. They might make their own Titan Deathforged.
And we know that they could, because they can manipulate anima. Their creations can manipulate anima, because the Mogu do it. And what are the Mogu if not titanic creations? And do that, and they talk about learning it from the Titans. They learn about finding Titan information and learning how to do exactly what they're doing. And if they can do it, absolutely the Titans could. And even if they couldn't do it themselves, imagine an invasion of Titan, we'll call them Death Watchers and Death Forged, going to Revendreth, cleaning house, bolstered by the ranks of the Naru coming with them, scouring the darkness. Yeah,
so now you've got Maldraxxus trying to stop them, because that's their job.
Yep.
And you've got the Kyrian who are like, wait, whoa. I don't know who to back here.
Yeah, we like the light. We don't like the Void, but what are you doing?
Yeah, and since since in this time period, we don't know if the Arbiter is still, Zoval. Zoval. We don't know who's the Arbiter here.
I mean, well, we kind of do, right? Because when the Nathrezim go out into the universe at this point, it I believe, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that happened so long ago that it was before the Nathrezim disappeared into the Aether, because this was part of the long-term con plan with Denathrius. And I'm imagining Revendreth and Maldraxxus being essentially laid to ruin, the Bastion not knowing what to do, and Ardenweald essentially trying to stay out of it.
Because Aonar probably would be talking to the Winter Queen through Balloon.
Yeah.
Aonar's like, we don't want to mess with the cycle of resurrection. We don't want to, what you do is important. We have no reason to infiltrate that.
But your brother, on the other hand, is working with forces of extreme darkness, trying to bring about the end of the end or reorigination of the universe. We're going in there, whether you like it or not, and we would rather not do anything to you. And I think at that point, because Alun is presenting to her sister, you know, and Aenar's maybe communicating with the Winter Queen probably wouldn't really have an incentive to get involved anyway.
Yeah, right. Especially if, you know, if it isn't affecting how Ardenweald works, that's her purpose. The only reason she got involved fighting Zoval was that he was going to destroy everything, including the Ardenweald.
And
if
I don't know that
Ardenweald alone, then yeah.
And I don't know that Bastion would necessarily want to get involved either, because at that point they're like, well, these are agents of the light. We know them. They have to have a reason. You know, they're not agents of the Void. They're actively seeking to destroy the Void, and the Void really messed up Bastion at one point. they took so many of our numbers. And honestly, our job is to make sure that the souls are ferried through here to here. That they have a chance to be there. But Revendreth, you know, if what they say is true, because let's be honest, news would probably travel, especially if ANR and Alun are talking with the Winter Queen. I'm certain couriers would be sent out. Maybe Meldraxxus would back off a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe they would be decimated, trying, you know, doing their best. And then
the thing about Meldraxxus is that they are very good at what they do. They're not going to throw themselves into a conflict where they have to fight a guy who's as powerful as the Primus and is absolutely obsessed with destroying the void.
And can create soldiers at the same speed that they can.
Yeah, he can make beings. And there's a lot of Meldraxxus would fight, but they're not going to fight symmetrically because they're not. And they're not stupid. They're going to be like, okay, we need to set up some delaying tactics. So we're going to put squads inside Revendreth to keep them occupied while we look for a weakness. And if we can't find a weakness, we're going to shore up our own defenses.
Or
if we lose Revendreth, okay, it's the Shadowlands we don't want to fall.
Yeah, and I think I'm wondering if that's the presentation too. Like at one point in time, like maybe the leaders of the factions of the Shadowlands of the Covenants that aren't Denathrius are brought forward to have a conversation with avatars of Sargeras and avatars of Agamar, because you know darn well they're going to be in the front lines fighting in any capacity they can. And we know this. We know that they have the ability to cast portions of themselves into places.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So maybe they sit down and they're like, look, we don't have anything against you. You do your thing. We don't want to destroy the machinery of death and life and rebirth and all that stuff. But he knows something and we need it because his agents are trying to destroy the universe. His children are trying to destroy the universe and they are working with our enemy, the enemy that you also have because you do not like Void. And maybe they do back down and let them go after Denathrius. And
yeah, it's possible. And even if it would probably take a couple bloody noses, but
100%.
They wouldn't like just roll over for him. But once they figured out, okay, these guys are as powerful as we are and they really want Denathrius. And does anybody here really like Denathrius?
Because don't forget, that's one of the things that they talk about is like, nobody really ever trusted him.
Yeah.
He was always a little bit slimy.
I'm like, you know, you'd see like the Winter Queen going, I'm not going to lose Ardenweald because of that person. And, you know, Kyrestria is like, yeah, I'm not seeing, you know, we just get a different realm to deal with people who've got unforgiven sins. We just come up with a different pride. We'll come up with a different way to deal with pride. It's not that big a deal.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Well, Caressor goes, we have things to deal with pride. Maybe we just up our production, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's always the make people forget who they were. Go with that one.
But I think that's interesting because I think they would succeed. And I think that's where that starts spinning off and starts messing with the mechanics a little bit of the universe is that Revendreth, I think, falls. And I think that there's nothing that they can do about it. And I think that's intentional. But I think from there, they go to the Maw because very clearly the jailer, or, you know, Zoval at this point, he knows more than he's letting on to anybody, even probably Denathrius. But Denathrius would give him up in a heartbeat to save his own hide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you are more powerful than I am, and you can create an army faster than I can. I don't have enough power or anything to deal with this. Cool. He's over there. Go get him. I'll just go live in my sword for a few eons. And I think
that would be interesting, because now what you're looking at is whose inexhaustible supply is more inexhaustible.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, Zoval can draw upon dead people. Although if they're doing this at the right period of time,
it hasn't been broken yet.
Yeah. The Arbiter is still there. Like the one they made out of like his mantle of office.
Well, yeah, because so Argus isn't dead in this timeline when we're talking about it. The machine isn't broken because Argus never got subjugated and Argus may have been born. It may have been joined with them.
Oh, my word. I cannot believe I did not think of this.
The Titan of Death?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But
more importantly, his servants, the Eridar.
Yep.
The Light Forged. Eridar.
The Eridar that become Lightforge because they never fell. Archimon killed Jaden. They never fell.
Yeah.
And now you have Lightforge versions of them. You have Lightforge versions of Velen.
Yeah. And think about this. Sargeras would still have shown up on Argus in respect of all that they'd accomplished. He'd still make his spiel.
He'd still recruit. 100%. It would be a different crusade.
There's no reason for them to say no. There's no reason for even Velen to say no, because he's going to look into the future and the light's going to be doing it. It's not going to be the fell. It's not going to be they're all demons and monsters. It's going to be, wow, we're all going to be perfect.
And think of the other repercussions of this, though, too. The other repercussions of this, while this is going on and while they're dealing with it, while they're hunting the void, there are key things that just never happen as a result of this. The Legion never gets made, which means Sargeras never corrupts Medivh, which means he doesn't need to. The dark portal is never opened, or maybe not in the way that it was before.
Because Sargeras never corrupts Medivh. Kil'jaeden never corrupts Draenor.
I was just getting to that. Yep.
The orcs never go down the road of the Horde.
The orcs free themselves just like we would in the normal timeline. They free themselves. They never form an Iron Horde because that's not in. There's nobody forcing them to do that. There's nobody convincing them to do that. There's no reason for
the Horde at all.
They don't form the Horde at all.
I mean, they would probably still have the traditions that led to that, but they come up with those traditions to get themselves free of the ogres. That accomplished, they don't have a lot to fear from the Ogre Empire.
And we know for a fact that without getting free from the Ogre Empire, players like Gul'dan don't have the power because there's no desperation letting them worm tongue their way into everybody's heads. You have a completely different trajectory where Draenor doesn't fall.
And Gul'dan doesn't have anybody. So what power would be there for him to reach out to?
There's no fell. Probably the void. But
there is the void.
Yeah.
And we know there's void. I mean, even though there wouldn't be a fallen Naru and some Draenei on Draenor, which wouldn't even be called Draenor. I guess we'd eventually have to call it Orc World or something. But there is the void in the universe, and he could find it.
And we know that there were crystals on Draenor that existed before the Titan, before before the Draenei crash landed on the planet. There were crystals that sort of mimicked that light and darkness pattern that we don't really know the origin of.
The Sethic stuff, the Arakoa.
The Arakoa knew about it, but also look at, why can't I think of the Ashigan and like that, where it's a burial ground, but in those burial grounds, there are touches of the void because death, it's a portal. It's something that we've seen the void exploit before. It's a high concentration of it. It could still creep in. It's still something that Gul'dan could reach out to. And instead of, like you're saying, I love when we're in the same wavelength. Instead of reaching out to the Fel, he reaches out to the Void. And then the orcs do have to unite to fight him and his followers, not necessarily worrying about anything else in the universe at this time. While this is going on Draenor, and we're just going to keep calling it Draenor for simplicity's sake.
Yeah, obviously.
And the war in the Maw is going on with the Titans versus Zoval to figure out what's going on. And then them discovering maybe some more plans of the universe and maybe understanding a little bit more of what's coming and maybe misinterpreting it. Because one of the things that I think is really interesting here is we know about the Devourers in the between spaces. They come from an area that is not really reality, but they eat things that exist, whether it's void or life or whatever. They don't care. They could misinterpret that as the void consuming all, of that what is referenced.
And especially then, since we've got Sargeras as the chief fanatic of this group.
Exactly.
He's not going to listen to some idea that,
go for it. I know what you're going. Go for it.
The Primus likes the cut of Sargeras's jib.
Yep.
Why wouldn't he? The two of them are really of a like mind. After initial problems, they get together. They start, after the Denathrius flips, the two of them sit down. When they go in, Zoval has to be beaten down.
But now it's not just the three and a half, we'll say Denathrius did a half butt effort. But it's not just the three against one or the four against one. It's now the entire Titanic pantheon, their army that they're creating out of the pure anima of the cosmos, or agents that they're sending through made from the material of the universe, and all of Maldraxxus and the Primus and maybe Kyrestria, maybe all of them would get involved.
We're not going to assume Zoval would, if we could beat Zoval, this force could beat Zoval
easily.
And Zoval here isn't in his state of reclaiming his heritage, his mantle, he hasn't gotten to go to Zereth Mortis yet. All that stuff he was doing, he hasn't gotten to do any of it when they stop him. And the Primus uses domination magic on Zoval and traps him in something they can use to question him. Literally puts him in a crown or something. Like a Lich King crown type deal. And then they can question him. And go ahead.
Not only that, because think about it, even with their domination magic, even with the ideas of what they know with rune carving and putting things in there, now they have access to the Titanic knowledge as well.
Yeah, the stuff the Titans were doing with it. And we know the Titans were doing whack stuff because the Titans had the words of power that they could use to control demons.
Yes.
And in this setting, Sargeras just gives that over.
Yeah.
He's not using it to create. That might be why the Fel isn't even really much of a problem in this version, because he's literally binding demons to service.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another weapon that their crusade has, enslaved demons.
Okay. So they finish their war here. They finish this. They take care of Zoval. They take him out. They get the accumulated knowledge. They make their decision moving forward that they need to continue their fight with the void. And something catches Sargeras's attention. Because the Titans kind of look at the universe. Something back home is beaming. And this is the war between the shadow orcs and the regular orcs.
Yeah.
Draenor is at war, and they're fighting the forces of the void. The Titans and Maldraxxus show up, and they help the orcs finish their fight. They stamp out Gul'dan.
Maybe they don't show up, because that would be very destructive. Their first goal is they said Akmar's been there. Agrimmar knows where it is.
This is Agrimmar's world that he saved.
Yeah. So the Agrimmar goes, he makes another avatar form, and he literally just comes, this giant orc made out of all this metal just shows up and is like, oh, yeah, hi, I'm Agrimmar. You may remember me from making the being that became the being that became the beings that became you. I notice you're fighting the void.
We're doing that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you get these orc clans of paladins of the light in service to Agrimmar. Go ahead.
I got even one better. They help them defeat them. They turn over the words of power to the orcs. They let the orcs subjugate the demons and demonic entities.
God. That's what that book is, dude.
Because that's what that book is. Exactly what that book is. Would you like to explain for the people at home?
There's the Book of Damnation is a book that in our timeline, Gul'dan found and used to bind a fire lord, an elemental being of enormous power, to a mountain in what is now the blasted, ravaged land, but at the time was where the Black Temple originally was before it was the Black Temple. And yeah, he ruined the landscape. I am having a real hard time on the name of the zone, but it's the furthest southern one in
Shadowmoon Valley.
Shadowmoon Valley, thank you. When you go to Shadowmoon Valley in Outland, it's a blasted, fell, and corrupted wasteland.
And there is actually there's an actual quest line where you stop somebody from using the Cipher of Damnation to summon an old god to Draenor, right? But this is Cipher an ancient book.
Yeah, it's not only is it an ancient book, it's very similar to a tome we saw on Azeroth.
Mm-hmm.
And a black iron dwarf named Emperor Thorason used that book to pull Ragnaros into our world from where he was trapped by the Titans. So it would make sense that the Cipher of Damnation is literally the Titan words of power that allowed them to control and summon demons.
But they're incomplete.
They're incomplete, but they'd be much more complete if the Titans just gave them to you.
Yeah, and they say, you know, listen, we're going after the void. We see what you did here. We're glad that we helped you out. We're glad that we scoured, you know, Gul'dan and his forces from Draenor and have purged it of this infection. But we need to keep taking the fight to them. Will you join us? And instead of them becoming Magar, or them submitting themselves to becoming Lightforged, or them becoming Fel Corrupted, the Titans go, you did really well with like this elemental stuff. Would you, that book you have there, it's missing a couple chapters. Would you like us to fill in the gaps? We got the original.
Sargeras wrote that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. By the way, Morganon did most of the work.
Yeah. But by the way, we're going to need more forces. And there's these things that are out there that sort of like aren't too far removed from this void thing, but we might be able to use them. How would you guys feel about being this ragtag, tenacious, damn near impervious bunch of, warriors that go and get them? Because let's face it, the orcs are the most stalwart of the races available to them right now at this point. Even with the Lightforged, even with the Deathforged,
what the orcs have that those guys don't have is that they were literally made from rock.
Yes.
To conquer wildly out of control, you know, chaos essentially.
And what are demons?
Yeah, exactly. And we see that even in the timeline as it is.
And so instead
orcs are very resistant to what if the same amount of fel energy that's turning elves into like vampire monsters barely affects the orcs. They just turn green.
Yeah.
You have to like absolutely go nuts with fel to make them start growing the big nasty teeth. And still they're just mostly just really big. Like orcs are very resistant. So yeah, that might work. That would actually be cool. Go ahead.
And this is where you get a different version of Demon Hunter. It's not ones that have consumed them into their soul and fight them daily. No, it's ones that go out and literally hunt the scattered demons across the universe to bring them into heal, using the words of power to break them and use them as the same way that a hunter befriends a pet. The same way that warlocks, make pacts with demons.
Yeah, they are literally like a warlock-hunter hybrid.
Exactly.
They go out. They find demons, they clobber them and use the words and then say, explain the deal. This is the deal. You're going to do this or you get the stick. It's going to be similar to like the way dark shaman work.
Yeah.
But with demons, it's like it's an inherently orcish mentality. Like, you know, we can do this like one way or we can do it the other way. I don't think you want the other way. And they've got all the tools. They've got the stuff they can use to bind them and control them, the ones that the warlocks are using in our timeline. And they've got the completed ones, not the half-known ones. And they've got the light. So if the demons just aren't tractable, you just annihilate them with it.
And this brings us to another thing where now that they have these forces, now that they have these, they're starting to police the universe a little bit. They're starting to put safety measures in place. They're starting to impose even further order on the universe. Now they look back to Azeroth, who at this point has already been scarred, has already been through a lot, but the continents are still together. The Titan facilities are still connected. They're still feeding power to each other. The old gods are still contained within them because the world has not shattered yet.
Ooh.
Go for it.
If Sargeras was with them when they went to Azeroth, Ysraj isn't dead. Because he'd know it doesn't work. He's like, no, you can't. I killed a world soul to stop this and it didn't stop it.
We have to contain it. We have to inoculate against it. We have to do something.
You can't just go and rip it out. I tried. Believe me, I tried. It's not going to work. What we need to do is isolate them, basically heal the world around them until the world soul can get out. And then once the world soul's out, we can blow the whole place up.
And who's a really good person at healing the world around it? who maybe this becomes their primary task while the others are fighting.
Aenar.
And Alun.
Yeah, and Alun. But Alun is, I feel Alun is playing her own game here. So I think as we go on, we'll talk about that.
Maybe.
But yeah, absolutely. Aenar working for Alun. At this point, Aenar and Alun are probably even closer because there wouldn't be this threat of Amonthul constantly freaking out because he's too busy trying to ride herd on Sargeras.
And Sargeras has already talked to Amonthul and said, look, this is going to fix the world. You need to step back because it's going to get another body on our side. While we are busy fighting and saving the universe, we need every hand we can to fight this threat that's coming, this threat that keeps infesting this universe, the threat that keeps coming down and ruining everything about this existence that we love.
Yeah, and they have Azeroth as the example.
Yes.
Because Azeroth is still this weird central location. It's still where all the Xerath's lead to. And they'd know that even if they're not, you know, their knowledge of the first ones is weird, but they definitely would have more of it. And now they're working Primus.
They would have, they'd have that knowledge from what they got from Zolval. They would have that knowledge from what they got from Xerath Mortis, because there's zero chance that they would ever not go to Xerath Mortis.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would have all the knowledge of the Primus. They would have all the knowledge of the Pantheon of Death, which may not have ever been intended.
Yeah, it's definitely not intended. They weren't supposed to go there in the first place. And so, yeah, they go to Azeroth possibly because of that. They don't just show up there the way they did in our timeline. They got there because Agrimmar was looking for Sargeras and found this world instead. But this time, they go there deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
With a plan Agrimmar and Sargeras have already gone through, with the all the stuff you just mentioned, and with the example of their Death Forged, they basically do the trick that they did first in our reality. They do it again. Would be the second time.
For all the people that I know, this is probably going to be a bad one out there. This would also result in there being no elves.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they wouldn't be exposed to the Well of Eternity. It wouldn't be the Shadow Trolls.
Or but they get to Azeroth, they do what they do to free it. They've already gone and got the orcs. This is thousands of years ago, but they've got the orcs already. They've seen how well that goes, and they look over at, like, the races of Azeroth, and they offer them the same deal.
Exactly the same deal.
Yeah. And who are the races of Azeroth at that point? Torin,
Firbolg.
Torin, Firbolg. The Torin haven't been made the Torin yet because they haven't gone through any Mogo experimentation. They're still the original version, who are like much more peaceful. There's the Trolls, who are very young at this point. And there's the various things that are born of the old gods, like the...
Born of the wild gods.
No, I meant the old gods here. The various things born of the old gods, like the Naraki and the Akir, they're getting wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of this. Those guys are dying. They're just going to get turned into ash. So the Trolls don't have that enemy in their future, and they don't have, like, they've got an example of Loa, who are very real and powerful in a way that the wild gods just aren't.
Yeah.
And they're like directly, I can imagine, like, imagine whoever, like the proto Zandalari of the Trolls are basically recruited. The Torin are recruited. Not everybody goes along with this, but of the ones that are, they're going to be directly exposed, not just to the Titan's power, but also to the light. And we know that both of those groups can tap the light.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, we've got like dwarves and all the earthen, the Vrykul, all those guys still get made because they're going to be part of the reclamation of the world in the first place. But now the Titans aren't a missing force. They're not like distant and unknowable to their maker, to their creations. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sargeras is leading them. Sargeras is very hands-on. We saw that when he was running the Legion. Sargeras would literally lead them. And so there would be none of this, you know, what would the Titans want us to do? Oh no, here, don't worry. It's exactly what we want you to do. So you could end up with like this weird version of Trolls that are just like, they're like this weird half elf, half troll people.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're tall and strong. They don't hunch. They stand up straight like the Zandalari do. They've got the huge teeth and the giant ears, but they're, you know, they're fully in their own way. They're as much light forged as the light forged Eredhar. they're very good at contacting the light. They're good at also doing elemental stuff. So in a way, they're a great bridge. And you've got the Tauren, who are still, you know, they're not as fearsome as they would have been, but they are very good at controlling the light, and they're very good at kind of like syncretic thinking. So they can work in the wild gods to this new group.
Well, I mean, and through the Fearbulg, right? The Fearbulg, yeah. Because back, they were always connected to the wild gods. They were connected, even if it was just through Ursoc and Ursol, like they yeah. were still connected to them. They still had this link, and bringing them forward, even if they were recognized as Loa, which they are to the trolls, the trolls would recognize them, and they would probably still, like, their different various troll clans would recognize a kinship with certain ones of them, just like they do the Loa. There would be ones that rally around it. Go ahead.
Absolutely. All that's true, but you just made me think of something. You're fighting the Void,
mm-hmm.
and you've recruited trolls.
Mm-hmm.
You've recruited the Shadow Trolls.
Yes, you have.
Who are extremely good at fighting in the darkness, and who worship who? Alun.
Yeah.
So in this version, Alun might directly make elves, because remember, the Temple of Alun, we see images of elves
mm-hmm.
at the temple. So Alun clearly tells them that that's the form she's in. So she might make like the trolls just into, like, she might be like, take the form of a troll for that matter. She might just be a troll, or, you know, it just, there's that would, either way would be interesting, but you've got like, you've got the Vrykul and the Earthen, and they wouldn't be getting the Curse of Flesh. So they wouldn't be, there'd be no humans, but there'd be Vrykul,
mm-hmm.
who are like, you know, enormous, you know, Viking humans. And I'm sure there's plenty of like Vrykul in other parts of the world who served other Titans who look different. So yeah, there's a lot to possibility here. And at the same time though, all this order and fanaticism is really dangerous. It's like, cause you can't argue with them. So you've got the possibility for eventually, the problem is civil war. Like the worlds that the Titans come to with their crusade are like, you know, we, every ounce of our lives is regimented. And then when we die, we go to the Shadowlands, and then our deaths are regimented.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, even the Revendreth is now run by the Titans essentially. And you just, there's no escape. There's no freedom to be had. And this means that people start looking to the Void. Like, oddly enough, by doing what they've done, by essentially stepping all over the Fell, by becoming like servants of the light, or at least working with the light, they've created such a rigid, omnipresent empire that the Fell starts to be appealing to people. Not the Fell, the Void.
The Void could do, but yeah, the Void starts getting a further handhold. Books or writings of Gul'dan start being filtered across the universe as, you know, things are moving across. Cults are born in the darkness. This is, and before anybody says anything, this is not uncommon, right? There are instances in history of real world where this has happened. Like, you can go to their various cults of Rome if you really want to, and how many of those were born out of the essential counterculture of being under Roman rule, or how
look at the Emperor Heliogabalus, also known as Elagabalus. He was Syrian. And he became emperor, but the Syrian people were subjected to Rome in much the same way that the people in Jerusalem had been. Rome had basically taken over that part of the world. And just on the other side of the border was the Parthians, the Persian descended peoples. And Heliogabalus's religion was Cybele, the great mother. And it was weird. You should look it up. Seriously, the Cybele cult is nuts. He murdered people by burying them in feathers.
And
rose petals.
But this is just to say that real life gives us the examples that dictate that this would potentially start happening. Yeah. And especially when you're railing against it, like.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You wake up one day and you're like, man, this, like Matt said, like everything is regimented. I have no control over it. Like, what is my life? And you have all these races that aren't.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Even death is no escape.
Yeah.
You people who can contact the dead will tell you, no, the Titans rule the dead. You'll be put to use in this battle there too. Like, there's no escape.
And so you start to have that war against the void, not with an all out assault, instead of what we're facing now, where we kind of know it's coming and we kind of know the players. We kind of have focus points that we can sort of pinpoint on or try to disrupt. Instead, it starts blossoming everywhere across the universe on all these planets that have maybe been forgotten, but still have to be regimented under the watchful eyes of the Watchers. Because at this point, don't forget, the Titans and the Light are totalitarian in that regard. They are essentially like a fascist regime. You cannot argue against them. They know what's best for you. And if you do argue against them, well, maybe you just happen to die and get used as a battery for all of eternity. Or maybe you get reoriginated. Or maybe your memories get erased
because
now they have the... Yeah, because they have the access to what happens in Bastion. Like, it starts to become that civil war where the universe starts to burn, not because the void assaulted it, but because the Titans kind of won.
Titans crushed it. They literally crushed it. Anything that is, we saw how Amenthul reacted to the idea of, you know, letting a little nature into his war in our timeline. Imagine how much he'd do to try and get, especially after feeling put out by Sargeras and Aggramar and all these other forces he had to like kind of work with. You know that he's the one who's going to be running the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the peace will be run. It'll be the future will be a Titan's boot on the faces of everyone forever.
Pax Titania, right? Like it will be.
Mm-hmm.
It will be
as that, long as you do what we tell you, everything will be great. We'll make sure that, you know, no hunger. There will be, you know, no conflicts amongst yourselves.
No disease.
Your day-to-day lives will be amazing. And unless you want to maybe decide what you do for yourself, then we have a problem.
Now, the question in all of this is that in the division, how do things shake out? Because A&R isn't really...
No, she's not Team Titan.
She's not Team Titan at all. And Alun having her own agenda, we don't really know what it is. Is it aligned with the Light in so much as we think? We know that there's a relationship to the Naru, but that doesn't mean she is the Naru.
No, absolutely not.
And
for that matter, what we really don't know is, would Alun be using this whole thing? Like, one possibility would be that Alun is using this whole thing to get the universe to choose to turn away from the Titan's path. And it's not enough that there be an alternative. They have to take it.
Yes. And that's exactly where I was going with it. Where now that civil war has it's not necessarily a two faction war anymore. It's a three faction war where you have those that have taken up the mantle of the void and rallying against the, the oppression of the light and order. You have those that are still on the side of light and order, but then you have those that are on the side of pure, unbridled life. You have those that follow the banner of A&R and Alun.
Yeah, think about this. The way that, you know, A&R, especially with Alun there, Alun with the relationship to the Naru, and the Naru with their, you know, their tendency to do this kind of thing, contacts, they get Velen at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
While he's still all in for the light, and they go, look, you have a gift and we want you to use it. And together they look into the future and see that while the Titans won't be turning everyone to monsters and they won't be, you know, creating all sorts of evil paths, they are going to lead to stagnation. They are going to basically turn the world, all worlds, into perfect frozen pockets. They're just going to be this way all the time. Never any change, never any growth. All gardens will be walled gardens. You know, all plant life will be curated. All life will be curated. And so you get this really interesting idea of Alun kind of already knew that this was where it was going. So she and Alun, Alun and A&R, along with Velen as kind of their chosen servant.
And maybe some of the trolls, and maybe the wild gods, and maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe the gods that manifest on other worlds, because we know that wild gods did exist on other worlds besides Azeroth.
Yeah, there's one on. There's actually one, actually two
in Ardenwyl.
But not Ardenwyl. I'm talking about Draenor.
Oh yeah, there's two on Draenor that we know of.
The bird, the Anzu. Anzu is a god, and he had a relative. We meet them. We know that they exist. So you've got this potential, like. They're not necessarily original. Like they're not hostile to the light guys at first, because light is necessary for life. But so is choice and chaos. Branching. You have to have branching. Things branch. If it can't branch, if you force everything in this one direction, it's not alive anymore. It'll just die. So they bide their time, and they wait, and they effectively form kind of like a shadow regime that understands both of these things are necessary. Neither of them can rule us, and we have to choose to be in control of our own lives.
And as the war between the light and the void rages across the universe from this cult that's popped up, as the battle lays waste to civilization or lays waste to the forces of the Titans, because people that were working in the Titan facilities, beings that were forced to tend titanic things, are part of this cult potentially. They're causing disruption. They're monkey wrenching it from the inside. The engine of the makers goes off the rails in a completely different way. Maybe Alduar shuts down, but you have all these things across the universe that are disrupt. And then the forces of life come in and they start cleaning up. They start counter recruiting.
Yeah, but I think,
go ahead. You know where I'm going. I think,
I don't know, but what they would end up ultimately doing is they would get into those Titan facilities and they would just wake Azeroth up.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going. And letting Azeroth make the choice.
Yeah, you have to choose. It's you. That you're the center of all of this. It's a reason that they came to Azeroth in the first place. You have to choose for your children.
And here's the thing. We know that Azeroth is cognizant of what's going on around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had all of this time to observe, to see what the Pantheon's doing, to see what it's doing to other beings, to see what it's doing to other realities, because it is connected to all the other Earths.
To see what it did to Argus, who's like its younger brother.
It has
the last one that came forth and was thrown into a war with the Void. Argus never had any chance to live a life.
Ever, in any timeline.
Yeah, it's just always a weapon for somebody's goals. So imagine that. Azeroth is the one that thinks to do this. None of the rest of them ever do. Azeroth reaches out to Argus and says, is this what life you want? Do you want them to be telling you what you are and what you're going to do forever? Because they will never stop.
And now you have Argus. Now you have Azeroth, who at this point is likely the strongest of all of the Titanic forces. You have A&R, you have Alun, and you have every being that they've recruited across the universe on that side. They have the disenfranchised from both the light side and the void side, who maybe the promise of the void wasn't what they made it out to be. It wasn't what was given to us in these cults, but yeah,
it's too hard to predict what the void wants. It's too hard to know, because the void doesn't want anything,
but
it wants everything.
But Azeroth and Anar and the forces of life just want you to live.
Yeah.
That's all they want. Life.
Yeah. And in so doing, you eventually get to a point where the Shadowlands forces that are working with the Titans are like, look, this is your
problem. You think Ardenweald wouldn't side with Alun and Anar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But like, just imagine like at some point, like Sargeras reaches out or Amenthul reaches out and they get out. Look, that's your problem. You came here. You did what you did. We didn't fight you, but now we're going to close we're closing the door behind
you. The door is closed. Yep.
Yeah. You deal with your problem. And the best part is the mortal races are basically the battleground of all this is us.
Mm-hmm.
Cause these beings can't fight they can only fight on the scale that they fight so much without leaving everything destroyed. So they have to kind of leave it up to mortals to fight these things. And you could end up with a Azeroth that is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, but it's very much the Titans in one part on one side, the Void forces on the other, and the third faction, the one that ends up dominating because Azeroth itself would probably join forces with it, just trying to prevent further conflict. Like we're going to let people live. If they want to come talk to you, they can, but you don't get to impose yourself on them anymore. And this goes for both of you. In this world,
it literally becomes the balance to the universe without destroying everything, including Void. Yeah. Because here's the thing. The understanding is you still need Void.
What is it? Potential. The things you don't know are the things you could find out. Like you don't, the light is all about revelation, but if there's no void, there's nothing to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no light, you can't see anything anyway. So it doesn't matter if you reveal anything. I mean, as a dude who is blind, I feel this one. You could totally eventually get to a point where things were in balance.
And not only in balance because of that, because they also know that Azeroth and ANR and those forces, because they are Titans and have access to all that knowledge, Sargeras can't win. The Pantheon can't really fight against it because if they fall, they can be contained. And Argus is not a force to be trifled with at this point. Argus is a being, a Titan born of war, more than Agamar, more than Sargeras ever was. You can't fight that. Not when it's aligned with essentially the force of life. Not when it's aligned with itself with the strongest of the Titans. Not when it is aligned with the one that has the perfect balance of light and dark, of order and possibility. You can't win. And so if you stand up, you just get taken out. You get captured. You are not allowed to reform. You're contained. You're removed from the board. Not because they want to, but because they have to, because that's how you maintain the balance. That threat becomes very real. Think about it. They understand that they have to, it's the Dr. Manhattan thing all over again, or the Ozymandias directive. Right? It's you have to show the consequence. And so that consequence becomes we take one Titan out and we contain it. And we take a Void Lord out and we contain it. And then there's nothing that they can do about it.
Yeah, it really would work. At least it could. And the funny thing would be like so much of what happens would be what the players did to make it happen.
Yep.
You know, because like we said, you know, you're talking about how you can't really fight Argus, especially when they're, you know, backed by Azeroth. Also, Sargeras isn't Amenthul.
He's not.
Like Amenthul is extremely rigid. He wants to be in charge all the time. Sargeras wants results. If he looks at this situation and says, we can't win, like the whole point is if we do this, we'll just end up destroying everything. And then there's no point. So the best choice here is to step back.
Yeah, the best move is no move.
Yeah, is to accept the situation. We can look towards the future and figure out, you know, we're not gonna give up on our idea of getting rid of the Void, but for right now, we let them go and see what they come up with. Like this would have to be negotiated. There would have to be I can imagine an entire expansion that was just about us beating the sense into Sargeras's head that ultimately, sure, you can win, you can kill us, but then what have you got? You know, who's left to fight the Void? Just you, you know, and the Void's coming, but the Void doesn't have to be just our enemy. Like
as long as it's held in check.
Yeah. The Void has its purpose in the universe. And for all things, maybe Zoval's words get out. Like maybe Zaval in the little crown or whatever is like, look, I've been trying to tell you this the whole time. It's not the void. It's worse than the void. It's outside of all of this. Even the void can fall prey to its hunger.
Yeah. The you misinterpreted the words of the first ones. It wasn't the void they were worried about.
Yeah, they made the void.
They made the void. Here's the proof. Here's the bits that you didn't see. And then all of a sudden it becomes a whole different ballgame. But I think that brings us up to current. And yeah, I think that's a really good place to end it. I really hope that you've enjoyed us on this wild tinfoil hat journey in our first episode of Azeroth What If. We will be doing more of these periodically. We will be spreading them out.
We don't want to do them like every week. It would get boring.
But I had a lot of fun doing this. I hope Matt did as well.
I mean, you know, you made the mistake of telling me to start at the beginning. So, like, all right, then let's go back to Sir Garrus.
Which is kind of where I wanted to start anyway. So we were on the same page.
Yeah, that happened.
But friends, I do want to thank you because Blizzard Watch is made possible due to your generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the Q&A, and an ads-free site experience. If you have other topics that you want us to go through, if you have ideas of what if episodes you want us to do, even if it's not just Azeroth, if it's what if of other things that exist out there, you could do StarCraft, or anything else that your heart's desire. Send those into us. You can send them into podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Again, specify if you have questions for us, if you're sending them in, what show it's for. If you have a special pronunciation of your name, send that in as well. If you want to contribute your ideas or questions through Discord, we have the Q&A podcast questions channel. Same rules apply. And then for our Patreon subscribers, as a way of saying thank you, we have the Patreon Q&A podcast questions channel where we look first for all of these questions and ideas. And again, I want to reiterate, without the reaction and response from you, an episode like this would never have been made. So thank you very much for that and letting us play in the garden of our minds just ever so slightly.
Also, I want to establish that during all this fighting, Sir Garrus is riding in a giant pumpkin pirate ship.
100%.
With a big ghost pirate hat on.
But with that, folks, we'll see you next week.